Jesus, I love you. How you guys? Is everybody ready for Christmas? Come on, you got all your shopping done. Everything is under the tree. Lights, the house is all decorated. The tree's all lit up, right? Everybody's ready? No, no, no. Those that know me know my wife and I, our family's always up in Sacramento. We have this tradition that we go shopping Christmas Eve day. All right, we have even shopped on the way up to Sacramento. There's a Kmart in Lodi, right off the freeway. Yeah, I'm glad you guys are here. We're going to have a great time. It's Christmas. It's Jesus' birthday. When you get invited to a birthday party, what do you usually bring? A gift, right? Even when you says, you know, I've had birthdays, and for the, you know, people in the church come, and on the bottom it will say, no gifts. But you know what people do? You bring gifts, don't you? Even though it says, you know, you bring gifts. What do you bring a gift? What do you bring for Jesus? You know, what do you give Jesus? You know, what could you give Jesus? Because Christmas is his birthday. That's the day we have acknowledged. It's probably not the day, just so you know, it's probably not the day Jesus was born, all right? Historically speaking, it's probably not that day. But it's a day that we have set aside to acknowledge that day. What do you bring him? What do you do for a God who, if he doesn't have it, he could get it. He could make it. You know, how do we deal with that? So I thought this morning we'll look at what kind of gifts, and there was an event in the Bible. Some wise men came to Jesus. Anybody know the story? Some wise men came to Jesus. They brought him three gifts. Anybody remember the gifts? Gold, frankincense, myrrh. All right, you guys know your Bible out there. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So we assume there's how many wise men? We don't know. That's what I said. We assume that we don't know how many wise men. There was three gifts, so because everybody's supposed to bring a gift, right? So we assume. How do we deal with this? And so I want to kind of look at that story to help us this Christmas. What could you bring? What could I bring for Jesus this Christmas? What kind of gifts could I bring? So I want to look at these wise men and see if they can give us an idea on what we could bring for Jesus. Look at the story. You got your little outline out in your Bible. You can follow along. The scripture's all there. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time of Herod was a king. Now, Bethlehem's about 7-8 miles south of Jerusalem, if you want to know. It's kind of a suburb of Jerusalem. When Jesus was born, some wise men, see it just said some, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the baby who was born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, as were all the people in Jerusalem. Herod called a meeting of all the leading priests and teachers of the law and asked them where the Christ would be born. They answered, "In the town of Bethlehem, in Judea. The prophet wrote about this in the scripture. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not just an insignificant village in Judah. A ruler will come from you who will be like a shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod had a secret meeting. I like that. He had a secret meeting with the wise men and learned from them the exact time they first saw the star. He sent the wise men down to Bethlehem saying, "Look carefully for the child. When you find him, come tell me so I can worship him too." After they heard the king, they left. The star that had been seen in the east went before them until it stopped above the place where the child was. When the wise men saw the star, they were filled with joy. They came to the house where the child was and saw him with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their gifts and gave him treasures of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I want to see this picture here of these three wise men, not three, we don't know, of these wise men from the east to Jerusalem to find that the baby Jesus was born just 8 miles south, 7-8 miles south of Jerusalem, the town of Bethlehem. Now, what's interesting, the town of Bethlehem, Beth means house. The end of that word means bread. So he was born in the house of bread. And if you read the Gospel of John, Jesus is the bread of life. Very interesting, isn't it? You know, the consistency in God's word. And so these wise men journeyed. And they come into the city. They don't know where to live. They had followed the star. Did the star disappear? Where did the star come from? We don't know. I have this belief, you know, God created everything. If he wanted to put a star there, he could put a star there. Yeah. There's some astronomers who kind of say Jupiter and Mars and those planets lined up and made a bright star. You can see that about 4 or 6 BC, somewhere in there. And so there's some of this kind of facts out there. But to me, a God who created this world, if he wants to hang a star there for a little while, guess what? He can hang a star there. I mean, he can do whatever he wants. And so they followed. And it troubled Herod. It's like, I'm the king. Who's this guy going to be? You know, am I going to have trouble in the future? You know, I want my kids to have the kingdom when I pass on. And they sure messed it up. You know, and all this is going on. And I thought there's not only was he troubled, but the whole city of Jerusalem was troubled. You know, here's these strangers walk into town, and all these rumors start flying around about the birth of the Messiah, and it just started troubling people. It started upsetting situations. So what I want to do this morning is I want to look at two things. What made the wise men wise? And what gift can we bring? What made these wise men wise? Why were they called wise? Why can we be called wise? Why could you be called wise? And so I have five things real quick outlined. Just follow along. Five things that made these wise men wise. Five things that made them stand out. The first one is this. They were seekers of truth. They wanted to know the truth. They set out on a journey to find the truth. I think this is a challenge for our world today. People don't care about the truth anymore. People want ideas. They want thoughts. They want to feel good. They don't want to know the truth, but they just want to know the truth. True individuals, wise people, want to know the truth. I had a conversation with someone this week. There's a statement out there that goes like this. God helps those who help themselves. When I went off to college, that was quoted to me. All right? I'm leaving my church in Sacramento. They're sending me off to go to California Baptist College, to go to school, to be a preacher. And some of the words, some of the people, God helps those who help themselves. That means you go get a job, you do your work, God does his work. And they quoted it like the Bible. Well, just so you know, it's not in the Bible. All right? I understood it was from Benjamin Franklin. I did some other extra work this week to kind of look it up after the conversation we had and did some extra work because I want to know the truth. I want to know where is it. And they say, well, it kind of a phrase from the Greeks, and they had all sorts of ideas where it came from, but Benjamin Franklin probably made it pro. Because I want to know the truth. I want to know truth. I don't want ideas. I don't want thoughts. I don't want suggestions. I want to know what is the truth. You know, I stand here and share God's word with you week in and week out. I want you to know the truth. And so here's what I want to tell you. Anytime I'm preaching, go home, check it out. Go home, look it up, read it. You know, one of the ladies in the church used to give me a bad time because I would talk about Paul on his road to Damascus. It says he fell to the ground. Anybody familiar with the story? If you're not familiar, Paul was going. He was going to go kill Christians on the way to Damascus to kill more Christians, and God interferes, and he's knocked to the ground. He fell to the ground. So my picture is he fell off a horse. Okay. And so I preach, he fell off a horse. Well, Francis Barker goes, it doesn't say a horse in the Bible. The truth is, it doesn't say a horse in the Bible. But Gary thought he fell off a horse. I want to know the truth. Who wants to know the truth? Wise people want to know the truth. Not good ideas, not suggestions, not guesses. The truth. See, and these wise men, they came to seek the truth. Look at what it says. I've got to read it here. They ask, where is the baby to be born? The king of the Jews saw the star in the east and have come to worship him. They wanted to know. They were seeking the truth. Where is this going to happen? We followed the star. We've got here to Jerusalem. Where is this going to happen? See, there's kind of two people in this world. All right? They're speculators. You know, that's how a lot of people treat God. They speculate. Well, I heard, I think, I thought, I figured. You know, I figured this, but did you ever know? Did you check it out? No. See, they're speculators. They assume. That phrase, God helps those who help himself. Well, I just assumed it was in the Bible. I thought it was in the Bible. You know, they like guessing. You know, a lot of people like living like that. You know, but wise people want to know the truth, and they will seek the truth. So I want to ask you this morning, this Christmas, true? Do you want to be wise? Will you seek the truth? See, I really believe if people are open and honest with themselves, and they take God's word, and they open God's word up, and they begin to read God's word, seeking truth, they will find a God who loves them and cares for them and wants them to spend all eternity with him in heaven. See, I believe those who honestly seek God will find God. I think that's what the scripture says. See, and so, but a lot of people, they just, well, I, from a conversation I have as a minister, when people tell me what the Bible says, and it's like, where did you hear that? You know, they have all sorts of crazy ideas about God. That when you open God's word and you seek the truth is there. So I'm going to ask you, you want to be wise? Seek truth. Don't just guess. Don't believe what somebody else tells you. You know, I always got in trouble. You need to know, I always got in trouble in college. Because just so you know, I was thrown out of teacher's office. Because it's like, nope. I was thrown out one time saying, technically you're right, but I'm not giving you the point. Yeah. Yeah. I want to know the truth. If it's not the truth, forget it. I'm that type A driven personality. Here's the truth. Yes or no? Yeah. Will you seek the truth? How about the second one I put here? They were willing to go to any length to find the truth. They were willing to go to any length to find it. These wise men traveled from the east. Now, here's this thing. East of Jerusalem is a river called the Jordan River, right? So they go over the Jordan. Once you cross the Jordan River and you get out of the kind of river delta area there, you get into the desert. Miles and miles of desert. And so these guys, in order to get to Jerusalem, cannot go straight east, okay? They got to go north, south. They got to go around that desert. These guys made a journey, probably 3 or 4 or 5, 6 months. You need to understand that. This was a long journey. They set out to find the truth, and they went to any length to find the truth. They went out of their way. They could have sat back there and, oh, okay, I guess, I assume. We'll just wait and see. But no, they sought the truth, and they went all the way around. It was a long journey to go find the truth. It was a long thing. Look what it says. When Jesus was born, from the east came to Jerusalem. They came looking for Jesus. What length are you willing to go to? Well, as long as it's convenient. You know, I want to learn about God, but I don't want to go to a Bible study group during the week. I want to follow God, but I simmer this question. Do you have to go to church every Sunday? What do you really want? You know, where do you really want? I mean, what's so interesting, as I read this story, think about it. Jesus is born in Bethlehem on the outskirts of Jerusalem, 8 miles down the road. He's in Jerusalem. Bethlehem, the center, the political center. Were they looking for Jesus? No. The political leaders? The religious leaders? The town? They were all troubled. They weren't looking for Jesus. I'm going to ask you, will you look for Jesus? This Christmas in your home, will you look for Jesus? See, wise people go to any length to look. If it's convenient, if it's easy, if it doesn't upset the schedule, right? You know, we got all these things. You get to my mom's house and my dad's house. Then I got to go over here. And then if they're divorced, I got to get to their house and his house and her house. And then I want to have Christmas at my house with my kids. And what length? Wise people go to whatever length it takes to look for Jesus. Will you be wise? How about the next one? They did not stop until they met Jesus. They got to Jerusalem. Okay, we're almost there. That's good enough. Is almost good enough? Close enough? What's the old saying? You know, horseshoes, the only thing close enough is in horseshoes and grenades. Isn't that the old saying? You know? Close enough. Well, I'll get close enough. I'm close enough to God. You know, I'm one of those twofers. Anybody know what a twofer is? A twofer. A twofer is those who go to church Christmas and Easter. They're twofers. You know, I'm close enough. You know? They did not stop out there. They came to the house. Oh, wait. Oh, where the child was and saw him with his mother. They came to, oh, whoa, a house. He's not in the barn anymore. You get the picture? He's already moved to a house. Yeah. So just so you get, you know, you got your manger scene? I've got my manger scene. You got three wise men. Okay, that's wrong. And then they're at the barn. That's wrong. You know? The truth, you know. Now, I'm going to destroy your manger scene, all right? You know? You don't need to get rid of your manger scene. It's just, but let me tell you what. You can put it like that, and then when somebody says, oh, that's a beautiful manger. Well, let me tell you about the manger scene. That's not really how it is. You get a good witnessing tool. You get to tell them about Jesus. You know? But I want to see, they went to all ends. Anybody ever have a little 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old? And a word like this come out. Just 3-letter word drive you batty. Why? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, you get those little 3-year-olds for you. Why? Why? Get in the car. Why? Put your seatbelt on. Why? You know, they just all ask why, you know. And then they go from that 2-, 3-, 4-year-old, they can be teenagers. They don't ask why anymore because they know everything. Right? Teenagers, they don't need to ask why. They know everything. I think most people act like teenagers when it comes to God. You know? They get close enough, they get right in there, but you know, we get distracted. You know, as kids, you know, we come to church, we grow up. I love Awana. We had a children's party last night, lots of good stuff. But then we get a little older and it's like, we get busy with life. We get distracted. You know? I gotta finish college. You know, I got a career and a job. Now I got my own kids and they're driving me crazy and I don't even have time for them. You know, and we get distracted. But then we get a little older in life and now all of a sudden we're asking questions again. Why is this happening to me? Anybody? You know, what am I supposed to do with my life? What direction am I supposed to go? What's the purpose in life? You know, we start out as children asking why. We go through this big old block of time when we got all the answers. We're just too busy or we got all the answers. And then later on in life, when we get a little older, you know, your 30s and 40s, come on now. You're wondering, what's the purpose? Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? And you start, and you come back to those questions. And wise people don't stop until they find the answer. What's the purpose in life? Why? What am I supposed to do? Why am I here? You know, and wise people, they find the answer. They search for that answer. They want to have that answer. And so I want to tell you, you want a purpose in life? I feel so blessed in my life that at 17 I accepted Jesus Christ. I told God something like this. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come in my life and take control. At 17 I made that decision. And then at 19, God says, you're going to be a preacher. Did I understand it? No. Now, just so you understand, what I've told, I said, I told God yes, okay? Right off the bat, didn't argue, didn't fight, I told God yes. Because I didn't know what preaching meant. If I had an advisor, I might have said, wait, okay? You know, it's like, God, you want me to do what? You know? Anybody ever feel like that? God, you want me to do what? You know? But see, God has a purpose for every one of us. I'm so blessed. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. Sometimes I know what I'm doing. Some of you have been in the church with me for 30 some odd years. You know he don't know what he's doing. You know, I think I know what I'm doing, all right? You know? But see, that's what wise people don't stop until they find that answer. I'm going to ask you, do you know why you're here? Not here this morning. I know why you're here this morning because I'm a great preacher. I'm kidding, okay? You know? But why are you here? Why did God put you here at this time. Sometimes I wonder, you know what? I love the Western days. Wearing guns. You know? I think about, but I'd miss my computer. I can't have both worlds, you know? But why? You ever? Why are you here at this point in the time of life? See, I think God has a reason for you. I think God has a purpose for you. Don't stop until you find it. Wise people find that purpose. Wise people find that reason. See, that's what God's about. You know, you seek that truth, and you don't stop until you find it, and then you go on. You go to whatever it takes to do it. The second one I put down here, let's see, the fourth point. They came for the right reasons. They came seeking Jesus for the right reasons. They came with gifts. Look what the scripture says. They came to the house where the child was and saw him with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They worshiped him. They came for the right reason. Wise people come to Jesus to honor, to glorify, to praise, to lift up Jesus, okay? Now, what about our world? Why do some people come to Jesus today? We just got through this political season, but I don't think the political season's over. How many politicians use Jesus for votes? Anybody? You guys are laughing, but am I right? You know? How many people use Jesus as a genie? Oh, I want this, Jesus. And I prayed for it. And I'm waiting for it. They use Jesus. Anybody? You know? See, they came for the right reason, and they came to seek and to worship Jesus. And today, you know, I come to Jesus for what I can get. What's in it for me? I had a great week. God blessed me this week. But you know what? Bad things happened during the week too. Anybody? It's a good week, but man, it was... There's some things happened this week I don't want to happen to anybody else. I'm not going to tell you what happened, but you want to go there. You know? But it was a good week. You know? God. See, what do we bring God? I mean, think about this. What's the right reason? Why do you come to God? Yeah, he's got that promise. Ask for anything in my name and I'll give it to you. Yeah, give me that genie bottle. You know? But they came to worship him. They came to serve him. God isn't in it for us. We're in it for God. How about the last one I put down here? They gave Jesus the best they had. They brought Jesus those three gifts, right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They brought him those three gifts. They opened them and gave him treasures of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They didn't give Jesus the leftovers. They didn't give Jesus the seconds. They gave Jesus the best they had. Do we do that? Yeah, I'll read my Bible every day. Well, I didn't have time today. I was running late. My alarm snooze button let me sleep an extra 15 minutes, so I lost that God. Do we give God the best? See, wise people give God the best. They lay it all out there for God. You know, and what's interesting, if you look at these gifts, they're very significant. When someone went to visit a king, what did they take the king? Gold. Gold. Who's the King of Kings? Jesus. When you went to the temple, guess what they used in the frankincense was an aroma, was an aroma that God would enjoy, that God would appreciate. It was a temple. It was part of the religious festival. Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the Savior of the world. Myrrh is a hard one. Now, I don't know about you, but if you come to a baby shower and somebody brings myrrh, because myrrh is a burial spice. I'm sure Mary and Joseph are going, okay, I wonder what this is. You know? That for us now, Jesus paid the price, didn't he? He died for our sins. He sacrificed his life that we can have eternity with God. See, those gifts were significant, but they gave the best they had. See, wise people give God the best. So I want to ask you this morning, you want to be wise? You know, are you willing to seek the truth, or are you just going to settle for guesses and thoughts and I think? You know, I love to have those discussions. Like I say, I'm that type A. I'm an analytical, logical person. I love to get in arguments with people who think. I really do. Because if they just think, you can tie them up in knots. Because I just keep asking questions until they can't think anymore. You know, well, what about this? And what about that? And then, will you seek the truth? Will you go at any length? Will you stop at nothing? Will you do it for the right reasons? Will you give the best? See, that's what wise people do. And these wise guys brought some gift. Wise guys, doesn't that sound good? Whew. Mafia. No, they weren't mafia. These wise men brought these gifts to Jesus. But what do you bring Jesus? As a wise person, what can you bring Jesus? A God who literally has everything. You know, what can you give him? Well, there's some things he doesn't have. But as I thought about this, I thought about, what would it be like going to a birthday party? This is Christmas. What would it be like going to a birthday party? I'm going to throw a birthday party for someone. Or wait, they throw a birthday party for me. Let's do it that way. I like the birthday party. You throw a birthday party for me, and everybody brings gifts. Right? Birthday party for me. Everybody brings gifts. But you don't give me the gift. You give the gifts to one another. You just, you know, swapping gifts and giving gifts to one another. And there's nothing for me. You may draw those names for Christmas and all of a sudden you're the one left out? Is that kind of what we do with Jesus? You know, we're having Christmas, Jesus. I'm going to give everybody a gift. But Jesus, there's nothing left under the tree for you. It's empty, Jesus. What can you give him? Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. There is something God doesn't have that he wants. Listen to me. There is something God does not have that he wants. You know what it is? You. You hear me? God can have anything in this world. Anything he wants. He can make anything. He can have anything he wants. But the one thing he wants more than anything else is you. Think about that. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Why was he born in the manger? For you. See, God wants you. So I wrote it this way. If you look at your notes, I wrote it this way. Give Jesus your trust. Give Jesus your... You want to give Jesus something this morning? Trust Jesus. Let me tell you, faith is voluntary. It's all in your park. It's all up to you. If you want to give Jesus something, you can give him your faith. It's your choice. He will not force you. He will not take it from you. You have to choose to put your trust in Jesus Christ. I've shared my story many times. At 17 years old, I was just a normal teenager. I wasn't that bad of a teenager, all right? You need to know that. I wasn't perfect, but I wasn't real right. I was a good guy, all right? Is that okay? But good doesn't get it. My cousin shared with me the story of Jesus Christ and started getting me to go to church. And I made a decision. I always believed there was a God. Never doubted. I always believed the Bible was God's word. I never doubted any of that. Never in my life did I doubt that. Now, today there are questions, but I never did. But not until I was 17 years old did Jesus Christ come into me because I put my trust in him. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. Let me lay it out this way for you. If you expect God to do a lot in your life, then you trust him. A lot. If you expect God to do a little in your life, then expect little from him. Do you expect God to do nothing? Then don't expect anything. Because it's up to you. When you look for God and you look for God doing, I'm going to ask you, do you trust him? How much? How much do you trust God? See, that's the challenge. So I want to challenge you this morning. It's Christmas. Jesus wants a gift from you. The greatest gift you can give him is your faith. It's your trust. It's what you want to give God. It's up to you. He can't take it, and he won't force you. I'm going to think, though, just kind of give you an idea. I pray for God to force my grandkids and my kids. I don't know about you guys, but I want my kids saved, okay? I pray for my kids. I did this morning. You know, God, I want to see them in church. I want to see them following you. I want to see them serving you. I don't want to just see them going to church. You need to know, I don't want to see my kids just going to church. You know, I want to see them, you know. So, do I want God to twist some people's arms? Yes, I do. All right. Maybe some of you. I'm going to give you a hint on that one. But it's your choice. Do you trust him? How much? See, wise people trust him. Will you give him the trust? That's the gift he wants from you. How about the second one here? Give him first place. Anybody familiar with the Big Ten? There's 10 things that God kind of outlined. There's a Big Ten. Anybody? Number one, thou shall no other God besides me. I have to be first. First. Let me tell you something. We live in a world today that is full of gods. You need to know that. Jobs, cars, homes, I'm going to say drugs, alcohol, kids. We live in a world that have lots of gods. Lots of gods. Anything that's important to you, that matters to you, is God. And we need to see that. That God deserves first place in our lives. Look at what it says. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. What do we put first? Spouses? Boyfriends? Girlfriends? Making money? Jobs? It's real interesting. At the conference I was at, I might have shared it. I'm trying to remember if I shared it with you guys. I've shared it with some. The number one, they did a survey of teenagers. What do you want to do when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? They did a survey of teenagers. What do you want to be? Now, when I was a teenager, everybody wanted to be what? Either a policeman, a fireman, something like, anybody remember those? Guess what the kids want to be today? Famous. Number one, they want to be famous. Get a million likes on my Facebook post. You know, 500,000 friends. You know, I want to be famous. I'm going to ask you, how much can you trust that? Can famous be fleeting? Ooh, doesn't that sound good? Can famous be fleeting? In the pan? How about money? You want to put your trust in money? Yeah, what happens when bankruptcy rolls around? When the market collapses? Yeah. You got that job? I have to take care of my family, and I got my job. Well, what happens when the job market changes? Do they make good gods? Can that stuff carry you? Can that stuff bless you? See, I want to challenge, is God first place in your life? See, it's easy to let these other things kind of come in. This week, I read a lot on the internet, and I like doing all that kind of stuff. I found this great ad. You know, I'm putting a big push on being here Sunday. You know, 2 weeks from now is Christmas. Christmas is on Sunday. You need to be in church Sunday, all right? It's Christmas. I don't care what day it is. It's Sunday. You go to church. I found this great picture. The atheists have put this sign up. I think it's going to be up here right here. The atheists have put this sign up right now. It's in Texas, and there was a few other places I think this sign was at. Make Christmas great again. Skip church. What do you guys think? I love that sign. Finally, the atheists have missed. There's Christmas. Now quit yelling about having Christmas. You're advertising it for us now. You know, that's what I love, that I see that. Make Christmas great again. Skip church. Here's my question for you. Give him first place. What does that mean I need to be on Sunday morning, Christmas Day? I'm sorry to stomp on you, step on your toes this morning. You know, yeah, I'm asking you to be here Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock, Christmas Day. Not for me, for God. You need to know, I'm looking forward to Christmas. We got a great program lined up for Christmas Eve. We're going to have a great time, just an hour. Yeah. Come on, 5 to 6, come on down. Yeah. Then Christmas morning, 10:30 to 11:30, I'll preach short. Not going to guarantee this morning, but that morning I will. All right? Yeah. But will you give him the best? Well, God, as long as it's convenient, as long as it's easy, yeah, give him the best. How about the next one? Give him your heart. Give him your heart. Now this, I want to make this a little bit different. Giving him your life is, it's like, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come my life and take control. I want to be a child of God. It's not shaking a preacher's hand, getting baptized. It's making that commitment to God. But now you got to think about your heart. I love praying with our worship team. Because these people up here, in order to get up here, you know what they've had to do? Not only give Jesus their life, they had to give Jesus their heart. Because it's not easy getting up here in front of everybody. Anybody like getting in front of people? You know? They had to give Jesus their heart. Some of you give Jesus your heart wherever your ministry, whatever you're doing to serve God. You give Jesus your heart. Your heart is what you love. It's what you value. It's what's important to you. Treasure. I like this scripture. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's that thing that's important to you. Now, I want to make sure you understand something. I'm not talking about money. Yeah, I do need to talk about money. Yeah, but I'm not talking about money. I'm going to tell you what. God doesn't need your money. All right? God's not after your money. Yeah. Well, that's all the reason the church wants. They want, all the church wants is my money. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Do we need your money? We do. Sitting there looking at our building, we had Awana in here. We could not have Awana if we did not have this building. We had a Christmas party yesterday for kids. We could not have had that without this. We rented the school. You know how much it cost to rent the school? We did rent the school a couple of years for Vacation Bible School. It cost us $1,000 to rent the school for Vacation Bible School for a couple of years. So God provides this place, but God doesn't need our money. He wants what it represents. Look at what it says. I don't want your vices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. See, God's after what it represents. Here's this thing. Whatever you spend your money on is what you value. The more you spend your money on it, the more you value. Isn't it true? The more it costs you, the more you guard it. Anybody? The more you've invested in it, the more you're going to protect it. I always lie. I was sharing with somebody as I came in. I have family. We go to see. I got to take my shoes off to go in the house. It's a house. I told them my kids had a water fight. My son-in-law brought the water hose into the house. You know? It's a house. But, you know, we guard those things we value. Is that right? You know? Look how many, the amazing thing to me is look at cars today. Cars. $60,000 for a car. You know? Now it's 7 years to pay them off. You know? We guard that thing. Matter of fact, we guard it so much we pay extra money for insurance if it gets hurt. We get it fixed. See, I want to ask you, where's your heart? Where's your heart? What do you value? Now, there's nothing wrong. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing wrong with nice cars. I love my and thank you. All right? I enjoy that car. You're sitting there, my wife and I, we'll drive around and we park and I push the button to turn the car. Don't you like you push the button to turn the car off? Isn't that nice? And I look up there to see 60 miles to a gallon of gas. All right. You push it sometimes and it's 23. Uh-huh. But it averages 50, all right? Yeah. There's nothing wrong with having nice. I love my house. I enjoy it. But you know what? I love God a whole lot more. I love God a whole lot more. You know? So I want to challenge you. Where's your heart? Wise people put their heart with Jesus. The last one I put here is this. Bring to Jesus others. Bring to Jesus others. You want to bring God something this year? Bring Him others. God has done something. I'm going to tell you, if you're here this morning, Jesus, I'm going to make this as plain as I can. I try to make the plan of salvation as simple as I can. Being a Christian is not shaking the preacher's hand. It's not, well, I was baptized at some point. A Christian is this, real simple, plain and simple. A Christian is someone who reaches a point in life where they say something along this line. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. You know, I haven't really done well in life. You know, I've made some mistakes. I've messed up my life. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. That's what a Christian is. All right? You pray a prayer along that line where you've given it to God. That's what God wants. That's that first step. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. And that belief is that stepping across that invisible line. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. That's what a Christian is. But it doesn't stop there. God wants us to bring others with us. It's not just about you. I'm going to tell you, I want to bring all of us. Just so you know, I want to bring all of Salida. You need to know that. Neighbors, friends, people who don't even darken the door of this church. I want them to go to heaven. I want my grandkids. That's my heart. So we need to bring others. You know, it's not good enough just to wish. What's exciting is when your grandson calls you and say, Papa, I'm struggling right now. Can you pray for me? You know what that does to your heart? Your heart breaks because your grandson's struggling. But you rejoice because they had the courage to call and ask for prayer. Anybody? See, we want that. We need to bring others. See, Jesus tells a story of a guy who threw a big old party. He was throwing a big feast and sent out invitations. Come, just like we're doing for Christmas Day. Inviting everybody. We're sending out, you know, come in with us. Join me. We sent out all these invitations. And it came time for the party, and guess what? Everybody had an excuse. We got breakfast. We haven't opened our gifts yet. It's Christmas. My family's coming over. It's Christmas. You know, they had all these excuses. And here's what he said. The master told his servants, go on the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I want to tell you, compel your friends, your neighbors, your family to come with you. That's okay. You can join the atheist on this one. Look at this ad. Another atheist ad that they put out there. Lady texter, you going to church this Christmas? LOL, no way. I don't believe in that stuff anymore. What are your parents going to say? They'll get over it. Even the atheist says it's okay to invite. That's what I took out of that. I'm taking a positive spin on what the atheists do, okay? They gave me Christmas back, and now they say I can go and invite. Yeah? Atheist Christmas, the more the merrier. That's right. Bring all the people in. The more the merrier. Are we going to bring others? I'm going to ask you, who do you want sitting next to you on Christmas Day? Not next to you at the dining table, but next to you here. So you invite. See, Jesus wants others. See, wise people invite. You need to know, I talk to my kids all the time. You going to church? I ask them. I ask my grandkids. I don't beat around the bush. You going to church? Did you go to church this week? I love it. My son, that's the one thing about my son. He's in the Army, and he did this when he was local. I get calls 2 or 3 times a week while he's driving home. For 30 minutes, my son talks to me as he's driving from Fort Bragg to his house. It takes him 30 minutes to go 12 miles. In Fort Bragg area, okay? You know, he talks to me the whole way. You know, guess what I ask him? Did you go to church this week? Yeah, I ask. You know, am I going to get over it? I'm going to tell you what, I ain't going to get over it, all right? I'm one of the parents that are not going to get over it. You know? So I want to ask you, who do you want to sit next to? Now, here's what you can do. You can say, come with me. You can say, I'll pick you up. You can say, yeah, we're having Christmas at my house. Come on over. I'll have some bacon and eggs. and then we'll go for church at 10:30, and then we'll come back and finish up Christmas. See? It works. You can say, I'll meet you in the parking lot. Yeah. But it's up to you. Who do you want to sit with you? And who do you want to be with you? But you got to invite. See, wise people trust Jesus. Wise people put Jesus first in their lives. Wise people give Jesus their heart. And wise people come and come with others. What do you guys think? It's Christmas. I'm excited. I want to be here. Now you need to know, and some of you know this story, and I'll say it, and if my dad shows up Christmas Eve, be praying for me. We're working on my dad. As I've been pastoring now for, been here for 33 years, been preaching for about 40. My dad heard me preach. Ever. And we're praying. We call my sister. They're going to come down Christmas Eve. We're going to have Christmas Eve, it looks like, together. And I put, my wife is saying, see if you can get my dad to come to church. We're praying and we're hoping that I'll be able to stand here and see my dad. Who do you want to see? I want to challenge you to invite. So I put it this way at the bottom of your page. Be a star. Join the wise men. You can be the star. You can shine bright. It's your choice. Will you be wise this Christmas? Will you be wise? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. That you love us, that this Christmas that we talk about, this Christmas that we celebrate, is acknowledging your Son, the Savior, our Lord, has come. Not just come to earth, but come to live in our hearts because he gave his life for us. Thanking us so much and caring so much. You know, as we're praying and our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Are you wise? You know, as I shared this morning, are you wise enough to seek? Are you wise enough to trust? Maybe I need to pray for you. And if I do, would you just shoot your hand up and say, pray for me that I'll have the wisdom to be who God wants me to be. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Maybe this morning you need the wisdom because you want to ask people to come, but you don't. It's hard. It's hard to invite. It's hard to say, would you come with me? If you want me to pray for you to the strength to invite, would you just shoot your hand up and let me pray for you? Thank you. I see those. Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands that represent hearts, that represents lives. Lord, they want to be wise, not according to the wisdom of man, but the wisdom of God. That we can see the star and pursue it. To whatever length it takes, to wherever it goes, that we will not stop till they discover Jesus, that your presence will fill their hearts and touch them, Lord. That you pour out your Spirit upon them, that you never fill anything up, that you overflow it. Your Scripture promises to overflow. So I ask you to overflow the hearts of these, Lord. They've lifted their hands, they've surrendered and said, I want to be wise, is of the Lord. So strengthen them. And others are praying for those they want to invite, for those that they want to spend all eternity with in heaven, that they want to experience you. Lord, I pray for the courage. I pray for receptive hearts when the words are shared to come and see, that you'll inspire us, that you'll give the opportunity, that you'll give the strength, that a simple invitation to the hearts and lives of many. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.